see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. I want to cover tonight the Trinity. This Trinity, the concept of the Trinity is coming up often now. They're trying every which way to poke holes in doctrine and the Bible. And they're doing pretty good at it. They waited using TV and social engineers and 1960s, God is Dead, and all kinds of movements, and NAACP and ACLU, and oh gosh, I don't know what. All kinds of maneuvers, movements, new Bibles, different Bibles. A scrapping, a moving, trying to discredit the true Word of God. It's almost like we're in a movie or something. It doesn't seem right. It's dramatic. It's real. And it's picking up steam, too. Everybody I'm talking to lately say, yep, something's coming. Now it's even more so. It's hard to say. I'm trying to fake this extraterrestrial landing, make it look like Jesus. Harp, controlling the weather, earthquakes. May it look like we're in tribulations. Killing off animals and groups by identifying a frequency vibration and destroying their bodies, calling it divine, biblical, or whatever. Changing the name of Jesus, Yeshua, which is going to be the name that Sanand Emanuel would call himself. Setting all this up. It's like a concert. They got playing with different instruments and tunes and so forth. And all this is going to come to play and wake these sleepy people up to a different dawn, though, that's a different horizon that they're not expecting. And crash in the Roman Catholic Church to bring in the New Age movement. And you'll know when it happens. And the church will fall away. It's teetering right now because it doesn't have another place to go because there's not been any traumatic situations to cause people to even want to change yet. That's why they form groups, use the news media to control the thinking of people, and groups, organizations, false religions, Jesuit-trained fake religious leaders to handle these cults, to get people to change. They set it all up before they introduce it to the major public. So we'll see what happens. Hollywood will be proud of this little escapade, extravaganza they got set up, chemtrails, Stromium Barium Niobate, 3D holographic imagery. One we think is Jesus, it's Ananda Emanuel, Ascended Master or Fallen Angel. Ooh, it's going to get interesting. Very interesting. I'm dedicated to broadcast, and I'm going to talk tonight about the Trinity, because that's what they're attacking now, is the Trinity. In all kinds of different directions. Holy Spirit's a female spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit and soul of Jesus and God. It's all kinds of stuff going on. Anything they can sow discord and cause distraction, they're trying to do. We got to hang in there. Because, boy, they ain't pulled out the big guns yet. Right now, they're just piddling around. And the major thing, it appears that the veil between the second and first heaven is getting thinner. In other words, more demonic inclusion is taking place. So we're talking deliverance, spiritual warfare, exercised and practiced. Here we go. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together for a Bible study. Lord, lead us tonight in this study about the Trinity. The mysteries of the Trinity, Lord. Give us wisdom and discernment. Guide me, Father, as I lead this. And Lord, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, to help us keep our minds, our bodies, keep the heart, focus on your Son, Jesus, in these days ahead. To ring true that small voice inside that we can defy these end times events, these coming events that are fraud or that are real. If all you give us discernment to see through the deception. Write the Bible in our hearts that, Lord, we'll be able to speak the right words when that time comes. We pray tonight about our brethren. We pray tonight about our families. We pray tonight that those we've lifted, we thank you, Lord, for some prayers has been answered. And to lift the weight of those, Lord, that have asked for prayer, that weight's been lifted off of them. And we thank you for the answers to these prayers, Lord. And these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sometimes I can't believe I've been broadcasting here now 5 years or six. I don't know. I've lost track now. I never keep track of it. I just go one day at a time, the next day, and just keep going. Every day has been the same. But every day I've learned something new. That's what's been the most amazing thing. And it's just not me. It's anybody that's endeavored to study this amazing conspiracy. I've always learned something new every day. Every day, something different. Add to the puzzle of how this thing is set up. It's just amazing. But God's going to unravel it. It won't be amazing anymore because it'll be going by the book. One of the most difficult things about the Christian concept of the Trinity is that there's just no way to perfectly and completely understand it. It's beyond our human comprehension to fully understand it. And there's no way possible that any of the creatures, angel or human, could ever understand the fullness of God. It's not possible. Yet we think we can. But this Trinity has got people, a lot of people, befuddled, and some people that are looking to discredit the Bible are really taking off on it. But our materialistic human flesh, bodies, and mind, we don't have the dimensional capacity to understand it fully. There's no way. So you understand it just as much as you can. And yes, with it comes a lot of faith in what God's telling us that is true. See, this Trinity is a concept that's almost impossible for us to fully understand it or even explain it really completely to people to understand it. It gives them a lot of room to deny it and questions that you and I cannot answer. Or a theologian, anybody could answer. If he could, then it'd be a perfect answer, but there's not. God is infinitely greater than we are, to say the very least. He's greater than the angels in heaven, because Jesus, for God is the creator. Therefore, we should not expect to be able to fully understand him. That's a given. The Bible teaches that the Father is God, Jesus is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. So when you read the Bible, it also teaches that there is only one God. Now, that we can understand some basic facts about this complex concept called the Trinity, we can also understand the relationship of the different persons of the Trinity and the relationship they have to one another. But it's incomprehensible to our human mind, ultimately. There's no way possible to fully understand it. However, it does not mean the Trinity is not true or that's not based on the teachings of the Bible. So the Trinity is one God existing in three persons. Some people try to say that the three persons, that each one has a soul. So God's got a soul, Jesus got a soul, and the Holy Spirit's got a soul. Or that they only have two souls. The Holy Spirit is the soul of God and Jesus. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is only two. It just gets weirder and weirder. Understand that this is not in any way suggesting you have three gods. It's only one. Keep in mind, when you're studying this subject, you won't find the word Trinity in the word in Scripture. Also, you won't find the word Bible anywhere in the Scriptures. It's a term that's used to attempt to describe the triune God. It's just the concept in a word. So you have three coexistent, co-eternal persons who make up God. Now, of real importance is that this concept is represented by the word Trinity. The concept is in the Scripture. So let's go to the Scriptures and see what it says. There's one God. That's the first stop. And you go to Deuteronomy, Old Testament, 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 8:4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now, let's go to Galatians 3:20. Galatians 3:20. Now, as a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And let's go to 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So, there's one God. Now, that means there are not multiple gods. That's established. So now the Trinity consists of three persons. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And Genesis 3:2-2. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Oh, Genesis 3:2-2 also is the secret number of the skull and bones. It means man to become his God. Then Genesis 11:7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So they're all three traveling together, all three kind of working together there, and yet they're still one. Wow. You see how confusing it can be for those that don't have the faith. Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And Isaiah 45:16. they shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion. Together they are makers of idols. I'm sorry. Oops. My mistake. 48:16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time it was there am I, and now the Lord God, and the Spirit hath sent me. There you go. And Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's the Holy Spirit. And then in Matthew 3:16-17, New Testament. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And 2 Corinthians 13:14. And 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And the second epistle to the Corinthians were written by Philippi. It's a city in Macedonia by Titus and Lucas. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. It's got them all three there. Now, in Genesis 1:1, the Hebrew plural noun called Elohim is what we're going to focus on. And that's used in that particular time. Elohim is a Trinity. Elohim is a plural noun. Genesis 1:26 says, And God said, Let's make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And 3:22 and 11:7, Isaiah 6:8 we've read, you have the plural pronoun for us is used at that time. And the word Elohim, and the pronoun us are in plural forms, meaning more than one. So definitely referring in the Hebrew language to more than two. Now this is not an explicit argument for the Trinity in itself, but it does kind of denote the aspect of plurality. The plurality, the pluralness of that's in God. So the Hebrew word for God is Elohim. So that definitely, plural, and using the word Elohim, allows for the Trinity. When translated. In Isaiah 48:16, sometimes I find these things real quick, and other times I'm not. Okay, Isaiah 48:16. There you go. Reminder, come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and the Spirit has sent me. So these are ones I've talked about now before. But in these, Isaiah 48:16 and Isaiah 61:1, you've got the Son speaking while making references to the Father and the Holy Spirit at the same time. And then you compare Isaiah 61:1 then to Luke 4:14-19. And Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it had been written. He had said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now you see, after reading those, that's the Son speaking. In Matthew 3:16-17, that describes the event of Jesus' baptism with the dove. But seen in this passage is God, the Holy Spirit, descending on God, yeah, the Son, while God the Father proclaims his pleasure in his Son. So, Matthew 28:19, we've read, and 2 Corinthians 13:14 are just examples of these distinct, three distinct persons in the Trinity. And they are distinct. But see, you'll find out later that they serve different functions. They have a purpose. Each function. The members of the Trinity were distinguished one from another in various passages. In the Old Testament, Lord is distinguished from Lord. In Genesis 19:24. In Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And Hosea 1:4. And the Lord said unto him, "Call his name Jezreel, for ye a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now the Lord has a son. Psalms 2, verse 7. See, trying to explain this is, you know, is a challenge, let me tell you. Psalms 2, verse 7. And getting the right scriptures. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. The day I've begotten thee. That's real important. Because they want to get rid of that word begotten as much as possible. And Psalms 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled for but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. So also, the Lord has a Son in Proverbs 30, verses 2 to 4. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Save the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And, let's go to Proverbs 30, verse 2 to 4. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath descended up to heaven, or descended, who hath gathered the wind in the fists, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou can tell? So the Spirit is distinguished from the Lord. They're different. Numbers 27:18. And the Lord said to Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And also distinguished from God. The Spirit's distinguished from God also separately. Psalms 51, 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me within thy free spirit. So there's distinguishing there as well. Now, there's more about this. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks to the Father about sending a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 and 17. Because you find this all through the Bible. So much about it. 14, 16 to 17. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And even the Spirit of Truth, with a capital S there, by the way, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. That's when you're born again. So that pretty much shows that Jesus did not consider himself to be the Father or the Holy Spirit. And you also might want to consider that all the other times the Gospels where Jesus speaks to the Father, you ask yourself, was he speaking to himself? And the answer is no. He spoke to another person in the Trinity, the Father. So now, looking from a humanistic point of view, you can see how this can become confusing. If you try to think it in the flesh tone, or in the flesh concept, you can't do it. Because each member of the Trinity is God. The Father is God, John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth in everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And also in Romans 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly shows a difference. And yet God's one. You know, this shows that Jesus did not consider himself to be the Father and the Holy Spirit. Consider all the other times in the Gospels where Jesus speaks to the Father. He prays to him even. You ask yourself, was he speaking to himself? No. He's speaking to another person in the Trinity, the Father. So then again, I said, each member of the Trinity is God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is God, Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remains, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? When hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. They include both. Holy Spirit's God also. And you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells inside you? So now, to really further complicate it, there is also a subordination, a ranking structure within the Trinity itself. You got scripture that shows the Holy Spirit is subordinate to the Father and the Son, and the Son is subordinate to the Father. It's kind of an internal type relationship. It does not deny the deity of any of the person of the Trinity, but it's simply an area that, well, which our minds as finite cannot understand, and that's concerning an infinite God. It has many more dimensions than we can even imagine. Now, concerning the Son, go to Luke 22:42. Say it, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. in John 5:36. He's praying to himself. Now, those that's trying to destroy it will use secular, materialistic, flesh-type arguments that they don't understand. Explain it to them in supernatural terms is not easy. So John 5:36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. There's many other scriptures confirming this. For example, John 20, verse 21, and 1 John 4:14. In 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why it came down. Now, concerning the Holy Spirit, go to John 14:16 or John 14:26. If you go to those, John, let's say 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, well, actually says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. You'll find the same similar responses in John 15:26 and John 16:7, and especially John 16:13-14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. You see, there's your subordination also. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And the other thing very important is that the individual members of the Trinity have different tasks. For example, the Father is the ultimate source or cause of the universe. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And let's go to Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then divine revelations. Go all the way up to Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who passes our knowledge. Then, of course, you know John 3:16-17, to show salvation. And then Jesus, the works of Jesus in human side, like John 5:17. We go to John 5:17. And Jesus answered, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And then John 14:10. So the Father initiates all these things. So the Son, Jesus, is the agent through which the Father does the works, the creation, maintenance of the universe. You find 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. John, verses 1 to 3. Colossians 1, 16 to 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is above all. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You see, he keeps things together. He's inside everything. All at the same time. So, okay. And now you have divine revelations. And that was one of my favorite ones, is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Then another one that's sometimes not mentioned but is really essential is John 1:14. So when you read to someone a very good set of combinations of verses, John 1:1, in beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you lead them to John 1:14. That you got that established. And you read, and the Word was made flesh. Oh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. There you go, the begotten Son. See, it's very important to keep that word begotten. Full of grace and truth. And then you show them 1 John 5 verse 7. Which of course says, for the three that bear record, for the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, one of the most frustrating things that I encounter on this Facebook experience, or YouTube, or whatever, is when they argue with you about the individuality of each and that they are still one, and you show them this verse, they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They always come up with some new argument, some new additional information, but they won't discuss that scripture. It's like it has disappearing ink. And I've known more than one time that they go down five posts, and I say, okay, I copy-paste it. I put it right back there in front of them again. And they go down another four or five, chitter-chatter. I say, okay, I copy-paste it. They're put there again. Now, doggone it, can't make a comment on that scripture. Quit looking over it. Comment on it. You see, they just won't do it. Because they can't do it. And so they're in denial. Every time. Divine revelation, Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Boy, I tell you. And then you have salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, and Matthew 1, 21. That's your homework. So the Father does all three things, all these things, through the Son, who functions as his agent. Now, the Holy Spirit is the means by whom the Father does certain works. Creation at maintenance of the universe. God uses the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, verse 2. You'll find it in Job 26, 13. And you'll find it in Psalms 104, verse 30. Now, I don't know who's keeping up with this, but this is also recorded, so you can go back to it and get those verses. And divine revelation. John 16, 12 to 15. And Ephesians 3, verse 5. And 2 Peter 1, verse 21. John 16, 12 to 15. Ephesians 3, verse 5. And 2 Peter 1, verse 21. It also shows salvation. I'm having a hard time talking. John 3, 6, and Titus 3, verse 5. And Jesus' works. And Isaiah 61, verse 1, and Acts 10, 38. So the Father does all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. He accomplishes all this through the Holy Spirit. Creation, maintenance of the universe, divine revelation, salvation, the works of Jesus, and the scriptures there to prove it. You know, there have been many attempts to develop the illustrations of the Trinity. However, some of those popular illustrations are completely accurate. You got the egg or apple falls in the shell, white and yolk, parts of the egg, not the egg in themselves. Just as the skin, the flesh, and the seeds of the apple are part of it, but not the apple itself. And so, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are not parts of God, but each of them is God. The water illustration is a little bit better, but still fails to describe the Trinity. And I use this one quite frequently about liquid, vapor, and ice, or forms of water. Now, I use this one often. It does a lot better than most illustrations. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit are not forms of God. Each of them is God. So while these illustrations may give us some kind of picture of the Trinity, the picture is not entirely accurate yet. I usually say in the liquid vapor and ice, liquid steam and ice, that the ice cube, and also use the same symbology, metaphorically, I use the three heavens. Ice would be the first heaven, the physical. Water would be the second heaven where the fallen angels live. And the third heaven would be like the steam where God lives in the third heaven. But also use it for the Trinity. Works better for that, actually. that the eye says the body. Jesus. The water is the spirit and the vapor is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're not forms of God, but each of them is God. So, the doctrine of the Trinity, it has been kind of divisive kind of issue throughout the history of the Christian church, to say the least. And while the core aspects of this Trinity are clearly presented in God's Word, as I've shown you, you got some side issues that are not really clear. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but there's only one God. We've proven that through the Scripture. And that's the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. But beyond that, the issues are to a certain extent debatable and non-essential. So what I'm trying to say is rather than attempting to fully define the Trinity with our finite human minds, we'd be better off served by focusing on the fact of God's greatness, His infinitely higher nature. And if you don't remember the Scripture, if you've listened, talked, well, Romans 11, 33 to 34, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath seen His counselor? Whoa, it's already 9 o'clock? Wow. So we could cover this again tomorrow and continue it, actually. And maybe I'll get more out of it a second day. Now I've kind of laid the groundwork. That would what be today for. Because the Trinity will move into other areas. And you got different Trinitarianism. Oh, here we go, those isms again. Trying to separate and divide it. We'll get with it tomorrow. And it'd do good for you to do your own study on it as well. And look up those verses. Because you're going to get hit with it. They're trying to say that God the Father, Holy Spirit is the Mother, and Jesus is the Son. So you got a family structure, they say. That's not scriptural. Because then you're getting to three separate beings. And that's not true. They have three separate beings and three separate lives. Like three gods. No, that's not what it is at all. Only one. And they keep leaving out Deuteronomy. And those others I gave you. Okay, well, let that soak in. I think that's enough anyway. Don't you? And that went by quickly. We'll cover some more tomorrow night about the Trinity. And do good for you. Do your own study also. Well, family, I want to remind you that we're played up at highportradio.net also. And John Kirkler is my, well, he plays my broadcast of my Bible studies. John Kirkler. Highportradio.net, up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. My website, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And there you go. Tomorrow, I got some more concepts in the surprises, I hope, in the broadcast. And then, of course, Bible study. We'll cover part two tomorrow on the Trinity. And so there you go. And right now we'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, Open up our minds and give us wisdom, discernment to understand these concepts, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Guide us in the right path, Lord, that we can help others to understand the true Word of God. And Lord, to give us that courage, discernment, and wisdom for those days when they come around, that Father, we'll be able to preach out your Word in the public and be able to lead others to Jesus. But give us strength, Lord, and protection when those evil come upon us. That, Lord, you got us in the right path and give us protection to be able to speak in those days come. We do pray for our brethren, our families. Lord, that you'll visit them, you'll heal and protect the others that, Father, are seeking your face in their new walk with the Lord. That you'll give them protection and guidance. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, there you go. And I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And we shall continue on tomorrow. So y'all have a good night tonight. And sleep well. And we'll see you tomorrow. Good night and God bless. He's your watchman. I'm signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.